is it Jew? Is it some who just go, just enter into heaven, just with their own lives only? You know what I mean? They just barely made it. You know, so that's the thing. Okay. We're going to just share a little bit more so that I don't run out of time. Sarah, sure. Can we come to you now?
Sure.
Okay, good.
Is that in your way?
No.
I think like the whole class has been good. As in, I feel like before I came to the class, like God was trying to teach me new things.
Yeah.
And so like relearn what it means to be a Christian in a way. So instead of like value being based here, it's based here, things like that.
Yeah.
So, and then let it, like Betsy was saying, like letting the word, you know, take its place. And you guys have said that.
Yeah.
So they, so I've gotten a word about being a wall. And so it's like, built, you know, the footings, the foundations, you know, this and that about a wall. Those need to be rebuilt first before that other stuff can happen. So I really feel like this. Yeah, like, so a lot of the beginning stuff about, okay, coming and presenting yourself, how you present yourself first.
Yeah.
You know, those things are good.
Good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So basically, what you're saying is that when you build a wall, you don't just build a wall.
Right.
There are footings, and the footings make a difference on how high you can build a wall and how well the wall will stand. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I like what you said, that this is about how to become a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's the way to see it. Yeah, that's good. Janet?
I think I've only come to this class for a couple. I don't really come every class, but every time I came, God's word just speaks to me like never before.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm walking as a baby in this journey with God, but just whenever I read His words and how when we share in our small groups, I think the power of God's word just speaks to me, and when I meditate on it, it makes a difference. When I used to be like, I use my own judgment, I use my own conscience, my own knowledge to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I think I've changed some of the values and how I look at God.
Yeah.
What kind of God He is.
Yeah.
And so, before, I think I used to take advantage of His grace and mercy and thinking like, you know, if I mess up this time, I know He's going to be covering my back and I will have a chance to turn back to Him anyway. So then I'll just follow, do whatever I want to do. And I've always doubted, like, if this is me, my own free will, or is it God working in me? Now I think by understanding and knowing what kind of God He is, I don't have that kind of doubts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just know that God loves me no matter what, no matter what decision I'm making right now. But yet He's working in me through my failure, through sadness, through happiness. And that's how I think I can share my life with someone else, because I failed in this journey with Him.
Right.
And I used to be so critical about myself not being a Christian like how we're supposed to be. But I think, you know, now I feel that even though I've turned my back on God, and He's gonna be here for me no matter what, and
you experience the grace of God, unconditional love of God. Yeah.
Unconditional,
Praise God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Jennifer?
I don't know, just the whole, you know, wanting to learn more how to walk the normal Christian life.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's something, I think coming into the class, I've been like, okay, I've been a Christian for a while, but I'm going to see an impact. You know, I want to see a difference in the people I work with or minister to, or the people I come in contact with, or, and I'm like, okay, what is, you know, I think that there's the ways that God has been able to show me that, but I feel like there's more that God has for me. And so, anyways, I think just even talking about, last week when Grant was talking about, you know, there's places where we can put ourselves into things that are useful, you know, where we can be useful.
Right,
or things
right.
Like that,
yeah.
As opposed to, okay, where is God directing me right now? And I feel like that's actually something that, trying to be more intentional about what is it that God's putting on my heart for now.
Right.
So that I can keep pace with what He's doing and also learn, you know, like being more intentional about learning where He's leading me and just kind of keeping that listening ear of where am I going, where am I moving.
Not just going by what is good.
Right. Not just what is good, but what is God wanting me. And also I think just when you're sharing about, you know, from how do you use that with the kids when you're just swimming?
Or recreational.
Recreational, as opposed to, it's like, you know, asking those deeper questions to God and really wanting to dig deeper. Like, I want to see a difference, you know, and in the people around me that I love, and, you know. So just asking more of those deeper questions. So.
That's great. Amen. Randy?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about this here. I think the whole concept itself of the normal Christian life is a bit of a challenge, you know, trying to think of, you know, what is God's definition of normal for me. I've had a couple of things that really struck me. You know, first of all, kind of as I was doing some of my own reading in the book, The Normal Christian Life, it was talking something about, you know, the power of the blood of Jesus and that my ability to approach God isn't because of anything that I do, whether good or bad, you know. It's because of the blood of Jesus that I can approach and kind of build something in me of seeking this relationship and seeking God in the middle of it all. But I've been wrestling quite a bit with the whole thing of that it says, you know, that my old nature has died, but I am now in Christ. And there's something of freedom of being in Christ, you know, to live a holy life and to live an empowered life in which I'm doing the works of God and living the normal life that flows out of being in Christ. But yet sometimes it doesn't always, I still wrestle through why it is then I don't always see it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm wanting to see more of that going on.
Okay.
You know, that my life more naturally flows from who I really am in Christ.
Right. Okay,
kind of good. Exciting, I know, exciting thing knowing that really my living the normal Christian life isn't so much about all my doing. It's all about me really walking in who I really am.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And learning to walk in who I really am.
Right, rather than me trying to achieve the Christian life or to act out the Christian life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Let's look at Romans chapter 12 then. And I think about this as the missing link. The question that I'm always asking when I'm doing teaching and all that, it's like, I always ask the question, then why doesn't it work? why does the Bible, what the Bible say, doesn't work in my life? You know what I mean? So that is an important question to always ask, whether you're doing your devotions or not. Why doesn't it work? Watchman is very good about that. He's always trying to find a way in which, what do I miss?
Yeah.
Why is it that it's truth? And then we all say that, but so few people live that. So he says, okay, what's the missing link, right? So let's have a look at Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, verse 1, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present, and we saw that word present in the first session, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And here it tells you that we are transformed by the renewal of our mind. that you may prove or to experience real, yeah, prove what is the will of God. So that you experience the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That is the key to experiencing it, the will of God, experiencing it. So there's something to do with the mind. The mind is a key part of our experiencing the fulfillment of God's word or His will. For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned him. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who contributes, in liberality. He who gives aid, with zeal. He who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. I'm going to stop here. The last few verses are an outworking of how this transformation actually works. But bearing in mind, we're asking the question now, why is it there's sometimes a disconnect between what the Word of God says? Okay, I'm dead with Christ, and now I'm alive, and so Christ's life is in me, right? I'm not only forgiven, but I have Christ's life living life through me. That's Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. Yeah, that's what we really focused on. Then the question that many Christians ask is then, why is it I don't always experience this? Right? Why don't I experience that? When I try to believe it, it's not enough. I believe and believe and believe, but it just doesn't really come to fruition in my life. Yeah. And so, those who are here on Saturday, I shared a little bit about this. The fact that when Christ died on the cross, He carried upon Himself all my junk, all my sin, all my past, my shame, all the things that have happened to me in the past that have made me bound up today and tomorrow. When He died on the cross, Jesus died on the cross. He broke the power of Satan that has that control over my flesh. Yes, that has the control over my flesh. Yeah, He broke that power. Now, if Christ had not done that, we would have no power to overcome sin. Our will is broken. Yeah, our will is not enough to be able to cause us to be able to live the Christian life. We just don't have it. Even though we know what to do, the will is just broken. It's like, it just can't stand up. It just can't stand up to pressure. You know, it just can't stand up to pressure. And so, what Christ did on the cross was that He broke the power of Satan so that the pressure of the devil that controls our body, in our body, what is called the body of sin, is broken already. That doesn't mean that we don't feel the pressure of the devil or the flesh. It's just that its power is broken. Its absolute power is broken by Christ on the cross. We still feel the chains. We still feel our flesh. But its power is no longer absolute in our lives. So we understand that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He broke that power. But He also took upon Himself and crucified to Himself your past, my past, your sins, your disease upon Himself on the cross. It's very clear, Isaiah chapter 53, He carried upon Himself. Yeah, not only our iniquities, our sins, but our sorrows, our pains, and our diseases. He carried upon Himself. We know this is an intellectual fact, but when we actually meditate on it more and more, when we say yes to it more and more, we pray into it more and more, it begins to soak into us. Does that make sense? So, in order for me to know more than just intellectually, but to know it in my bones, I have to meditate upon it. I have to allow myself to meditate upon it. It's a very interesting thing because the Bible, as I mentioned before, talks about knowing in a very different way than the way we know things. We know things in our head. When the Bible says you know something, it makes you free. You see, the truth shall set you free. When you know something, it changes my behavior, it changes the way I move. We are wanting to know, have that kind of knowledge. The knowledge that makes us move instinctually according to the Spirit. Does that make sense? Now what Christ did is that He died on when He died on the cross, He took upon Himself all my sin, my shame, my past, my mistakes, all the things about, even natural things, not even sinful things, just things that I'm embarrassed about, you know, things that I cannot accept about myself, things that people could not accept about me, you know, experience that I've had that I've gone already, but still are painful to think about. Does that make sense? He carried upon Himself all that. And because of that, I don't have to carry it upon myself anymore. The question, of course, is, and why am I still carrying it? is that right? It's like, well, you know, if I should be delivered, right? Actually, so am I delivered or not? If Christ died for it and has carried upon Himself, who's carrying it now? Him or me? It feels like I am. And if it's true that Christ is carrying it, then it really isn't making that much difference for me. Because I feel like I'm carrying it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But the Bible says He carried upon Himself all that. Not only that, He nailed it to the cross. You know? He nailed it. When He was buried in the tomb, He was buried with Him. So when I go through baptism, I am enacting the fact that when I go under the water, all that shame, all that sin, and all that embarrassment, all that my nature of sin has been put under water. I come out of the water, immediately I experience my sin nature again. That is very, very frustrating, isn't it? Very, very frustrating. So Christians, actually, after a while, they stop believing it anymore. Because they've heard it again and again. They've read Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. And so when we do this class, I'm always thinking about, okay, so why doesn't it work, right? What is the disconnect? See, I have to know what the disconnect is, right? Because if I try to just, by faith, appropriate, or just take to myself that what Christ has done is true, you know, and I really believe it, then I go out and I just fall flat on my face, you see. Or something happens. Somebody brings something up that reminds me of my past, and suddenly I get depressed, you see, or I'm struck by it. My heart burns, and I just can't cope with it, you know. And I don't know what to do, because it's so strong. Maybe sometimes it's so physical. I mean, I've seen people who experience that. So who's carrying it now, you know? Who is it, Christ, or is it me, or whatever is it? Then why am I not fully delivered? Why am I still having torment and all that kind of stuff? So that is the problem we want to look at tonight. Okay, because if we can really tackle that, then we can look at it realistically and look for all the disconnects. You see, there are certain disconnects between what the Bible says and promises and what we experience. That's right. So we're going to find the disconnect. We're going to chase it down and look at that. So first, verse 1, I believe, is a key. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Okay? So the first thing that Romans chapter 1 is, chapter 12 verse 1 is saying, is that you have to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That means that even though Christ died on the cross, and He died for us, we have to present ourselves as those who are dead in Him. We identify ourselves with Christ's death and body. His death becomes our death. And that is the beginning of the disconnect. The disconnect has to do with the fact that we sometimes try to appropriate the promises of God, but we haven't presented ourselves. Does that make sense? So first Romans chapter 12, says, verse 1 says, so, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. There is, in every aspect, a starting point in our life. The starting point is that we are dead. that we identify with Christ's death. So what is our position with respect to life? It is on the altar. Our position is, our placement is on the altar. That means we belong to God. Does that make sense? Now, we can only do this by the mercy of God. That means I cannot try to put myself on the altar because I will run away. The living sacrifice is a sacrifice that has legs that can run. You know? In fact, in the Old Testament, they had in the altar, they had what they call horns on each corner to tie the animal to, because the animal wants to run away. Right? So that's something about that. You know, I want to run away. I'm not naturally like to be on the altar. I like to just move. I want to be anywhere else except the altar. But the altar is the place where you begin every day. Every day we live our lives identified with Christ's death. What does that mean? It means I belong to Him. I am His. Every time I want to take a step of faith, right, I want to believe God for something, I am His. I belong to Him. So that is really important, because a lot of times as Christians we try to live a deathless life. That means a life by just trying to work the Bible, just apply the Bible. But you cannot. You actually have to start every day in the morning or with from this position of being offered to God as a living sacrifice. I don't have an agenda. Your agenda is my agenda. You can do anything you like with my plans, my desires, all the things that I look to. I give it back to God. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Now, it says in that verse, by the mercies of God to present yourself. That means that I can't just present myself. I need the mercy of God. I need the grace of God, the power of God to actually give myself to Him. Because it is, have you found times in which you just feel, I got to give my life to Christ. Okay, I give my life to God. Okay, God, take everything. And, okay, it's all yours. And then throughout the day we find that actually we've taken it back, right? We've just taken it back. We give our life to God, and then it just bounces back to us. It's like there's a rubber band, right? And it just keeps on coming back and forth, yeah? So we are always putting ourselves on the altar, and in the next moment we run away. It's like we can't catch ourselves, you know? Because when we put ourselves on the altar, we're not dead, right? We're not dead. We just keep on running. And we run away from the altar, right? When Paul says to present yourself by the mercy of God, what he's saying is this: you can be living and yet be completely given over to it, at peace with this, by the mercy of God. Does that make sense? That mercy of God is actually able to administer the death of the Lord Jesus to me. I cannot administer the death of the Lord Jesus to myself. I cannot die. I don't know how to die. There's nothing in me that can die or wants to die. I may try to surrender, you know, I may try to be spiritual and surrender, but I just can't because my flesh is screaming. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that is what makes Christian life hard. And so a lot of times we just skip that part. We just say, we just try to apply the Bible and try to work it. What can happen? But we can't, you see. Because the only way in which we can experience the Word of God is not by some kind of engineering, so we try to sort of work the angles, but by being dead, by being crucified with Christ. And so Romans chapter 12 says, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And the worship really means that I am going to need God as I give my life to Him, to actually begin to bring the surrender into my spirit, into my heart. He can give me the surrender. That is something only God can do. Mm-hmm. I can put myself on the altar, but only God can release me from those lame devils running away. I can't. And the reason why I want to run away is because my flesh, my fears, my not knowing what can happen, you know what I mean? I can't control my emotions, my passions that want to get out of it. You know what I mean? I can't even sit still to read the Bible, because the moment I sit still, I just need to do something else. Does that make sense? I need the grace of God. Does that make sense? I work so hard to have 2 hours, and once I have the 2 hours, I don't use it. So that's what it is in the flesh, right? I can't sit still. There's something inside me that's just jumping all over the place. I need the grace of God to actually administer that. So that's the mercies of God. That's the mercies of God. And most of us do not give ourselves time to allow the Holy Spirit to just put the rest on us, put the release to us. We live lives in which our time frame is too fast. Our lives are filled with many, many things. So because of that, we don't get to experience the presenting to God, because we're just busy. Or we haven't made time for it, or we don't make space for it. Does that make sense? You can see how our society is like that. And so what Romans chapter 12 says is this: you have to present yourself so that you can be identified with Christ's death. See, when Christ died, we died with Him. It is only when we are dead with Him that we experience the life that is in Him. If you're not dead with Him, then you can't experience the life, the resurrection life with Him. You are trying to experience the resurrection life without being dead with Him. It's like you're in a whole different place. Christ is here, He's dead. I mean, He died on the cross, He rose from the dead. But we are here, see? And so we're trying to access that. And so there's a disconnect. Does that make sense? And so that's where the disconnect actually happens. We know what the Bible says. Okay, you have victory over sin, you have victory over the flesh, you have all these things. You don't have to bear the shame anymore. And there, here I am. How can I experience this victory? I can only do it when I die into Christ. That's the only way. And so, that is why Romans chapter 12 is very important. It's a crucial thing. It's almost as if you read Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, then Romans chapter 12 says, okay, this is your starting point. This is the practical thing to do. Romans chapter 8 is what has happened for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, okay, this is how you start. You don't start just by just believing it, just trying to do it. You know, you start by presenting yourself. It all has to start from a place of death. Okay. Now, this is where the practical part really is very important. The practical part is this. I have to trust God that when I present myself to Him, when my mind, my heart, my emotions, my anticipation of the day is jumping all over the place, just wanting to go, just want to go, quick, God, can I finish my devotion? My daughters are like that. See? They are forced to have 20 minutes of devotions every day. The moment they start a devotion, they're wanting to go, okay, done. And when they're desperate to get a word from God, they'll just flip the page. Okay, I got a word. Okay, God, 5 minutes. All right, let's go. So I can see that. I can see it all jumping all over them. But sometimes, when we are in the family room, it gets all quiet, okay? It gets really quiet. And one by one, they will get a word. And you can feel they're just at rest. 20 minutes, 25, 30, they just don't want to stop. That is the mercies of the Lord that has given them death, right? They don't want to be anywhere else, they're just, oh, yeah. And you can feel it's very quiet, you know? So it's quite rare. But it happens sometimes. So what I try to do is this, okay, make sure you wake up early, do everything so that you have space to do that. But because of the fact that sometimes they take a long time to go to bed, they wake up late, and so they're rushing. And then of course, you say, okay, quiet time. No, no, no quiet time. No, you have to have quiet time. No, 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 no. Okay, we only have 10 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes. Okay. 10 minutes. They haven't even quieted themselves down. Okay, mommy, it's done. 10 minutes. Okay, we gotta go. And so we miss it. Okay, so we miss it. So I have to try to make sure that I make time so that they can be at rest. Because it takes time for them to come to a place where they have given the Holy Spirit enough time to just administer to them the death of the Lord Jesus. What is that? The fact that, okay, I'm just submitted to you. Whatever you want to do, I'm at your disposal. And you can take your time, God. And by doing that, they enter into God's time. Does that make sense? They're not on their own time. They're not on their own clock. They're in God's clock. See, and every day we face that. Every day. For me, as a preacher, I experience it every day. Every day, if yesterday I've experienced the peace, today I have to wait for it again. Mm-hmm. I have to wait for it again. Maybe because of the fact that after many years, I know that it will come. It makes it easy for me. Does that make sense? But sometimes we don't know it's going to come. We don't know whether it's going to come or not, so you get anxious. And then you don't know whether it's going to be a waste of time or not. But there are a lot of things to be done. If it's not work, it's dishes to be washed. You know. So there's these things that actually have to happen. The practical outworking of this is very important because I can't connect the promises of God with the daily living because a lot of times my own wave, like my own frequency, my own sort of, my own agitation or my own moods are not, it's like not on the same bandwidth, on the same wavelength as God. So I find that, do you find this in your life? You're just reading the Bible, it's just not connecting, or I just can't feel the presence of God. Just can't feel the reality of it. So, over the years, I've just found that as I give myself more and more of this, to this, it gets easier and easier and easier. So that, for the most part for me now, I just need to just switch my mind and then it's on already, you know. But I remember times in which I just needed to just wait and pray, worship God, praise God, until slowly it'll settle in. What the Lord has done, the death of the Lord Jesus, becomes my death. Does that make sense? And what I mean by my death means it's my peace. I'm at rest. And I'm not bound by needing to do this or needing to have this or needing to do this. I'm going to stop here for a little bit and just open up for discussion or questions. So on Saturday, what I mentioned for those who were here at the class was that the evangelicals understood. Okay, I'll put it the other way. The Catholics, okay, Eastern Orthodox and Catholics, they were very into spiritual disciplines. You know, it was like you work the spiritual disciplines so that you be in a state of mind to be spiritual. Yeah, but as a result of that, it tended to be like a lot of works. You know, I gotta earn it. It's all about my spiritual exercises, all my stuff to like really discipline myself. Then the evangelicals came along, and Watchman Nee and folks like that came, and he says, no, it is not by our works, it's by grace. Christ has done it for us, and we can accept as a free gift the power and the grace of God. We have been made new. We have died, and we are now alive in Christ. So we have that. So we don't have to do it just like many of the Catholic kind of ways in which they have to work the spiritual disciplines. Watchman Nee and all these people said, no, God has done it for us. Does that make sense? So the evangelicals have this, God has done it for us. The Catholics have this, we work the spiritual exercises. Okay, there's a problem. The problem is that the evangelicals say, God has done it for me, but they don't know how to experience it. Right? There's a disconnect. Does that make sense? You know what's the disconnect? The whole business of presenting ourselves and letting the Lord take control. And this is where the monastics, the Catholics, got a handle on that. They realize that it's not just a matter of believing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a matter of preparing my heart, giving myself time for it to become something I can believe or I can experience real in my life. So, what Romans chapter 12 says is, present yourselves. You're going to find that as you do this, sometimes it's immediate. You wake up, you just feel presented already. Mm-hmm. You know, you wake up and you feel on a certain day, on a good day, everything in your heart, the spirit is settled. Yeah. Lord, I'm ready for you. It's wonderful. Sometimes you wake up and you're just disturbed. You know what I mean? It's very disturbed. The first thing that comes to your mind is just worry, panic, or you're bugged by something. You know? Whatever it is, there's a consistency in which we say, I present myself. And I recognize that when I present myself, there's a part of me that's running away. But I just stay there. I just stay there until it just slowly. So. Yeah. What is it by faith? The faith is that God will come through. Not because of my own doing. Ready?
Yeah, I just keep getting this stuff going through my head, you know? I mean, there are times when I can come by and it just seems so natural to have things like that. And, you know, it's like almost God calls me to something and it's just like I'm automatically surrendered to Him in the process and things go. But, you know, sometimes it can seem like I can wake up in the morning, my heart's in this place, and I say, God, this is my light. I give it to you. Use me however you want. And it seems that so often I come in those times and I'll start off my day that way. And it's just like I get beat up through the whole day. You know, and it's almost like I'm just thrown into this battle. And by the end of the day, it's just like, I don't even know if I want to do that tomorrow. But I want to go through all that again.
The quiet time is great. You just come out, you step out of the quiet time. When Sunday steps into Monday, it's like, oh. And you wonder whether that was real.
I think though, you know, so it's like sometimes, you know, I can come into this place where it's like I surrender the day to God. And as I get so beat up through the day, that it can just get frustrating. And it's hard for me to think, okay, you know, that you're talking about this mercy and meeting God in that place, you know, and sometimes it feels like, where is that, you know?
That's right.
It's like I've offered you my life and I'm ready to serve you and...
Yeah.
But...
And as you're walking up the door, Satan puts his foot right in front of you.
Tripped. Exactly. That's exactly how it feels, yes.
So I need to experience faith in two ways, okay?
Yeah.
There's faith because I feel the faith here.
Yeah.
Second is the faith to believe that when I got tripped up, or when I wake up and I'm very disturbed, when I just present myself, and sometimes it's just by worshipping God, that when I do this, at some point, God will take over, and there will be a change. I have to believe that. The lack of believing that will cause me to cut it short.
Yeah.
Right? Cut it short. So I have found overwhelmingly that God will always come through. Whether I hear a word or not, I at least will experience that. Okay, I'm at peace. The Lord has administered the death of the Lord Jesus to me, and I'm dead to the world, I'm dead to my flesh, dead to my pride, dead to my fears, dead to my past, dead to my anticipations of the future. That is the thing we believe God for. Yeah, that is the thing that requires the grace of God by the mercies of God. Every time I overcome my temptation to feel that it's not going to happen, I get stronger and stronger. My hope is built up on that.
Yes.
So, yeah, go ahead.
I guess what I'm thinking right now is, you know, I sometimes will kind of walk out the door and like slam. And I'll say, okay, worship God. Just you know, worship God. Stay with it. And but it doesn't always seem to come through. And what I'm thinking is that part of it is just kind of persistence and staying in there to the point where, because I say I believe it, but there's a point at which I believe to a point.
Right. And that is okay.
Stay with it, stay with it.
Yes.
And let that build in me more and more. And eventually,
right,
we'll see that.
Yes. And our faith is not in the worship either. The faith is in the fact that God is coming through. And all I can do is prepare my heart by worshipping or allowing the scriptures.
God is doing it. God will do it.
Yeah. So my hope is not in any technique, but is in the fact that the Lord will come through. Yeah. So that's actually, that is the struggle many people will experience. Now, there are many Christians who haven't got past that. But what I want to say is this, you have to. Okay? This is where I want to put a pressure on you. And that is this baby, this kindergarten.
Yeah.
Okay, this is kindergarten. And it can be done, and it must be done. Don't give yourself excuses. You can't play the fool with this, because many Christians, after many years, they haven't even got this down. How can they do other things? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You've got to have this, because you have to know the space between you and God. When it's just you and God, no community, no friends, no around, you're just going to know that God comes. You're just going to know God comes. Each one of us need to have that conviction that God comes. That needs to be established. There are, unfortunately, many people in our church who don't have that yet. After many years, they have not established that God comes. So that's why I feel this one is a very, very important. This Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I present myself, and I present myself, and I present myself until the mercies of God seep through, and then I'm overcome by the mercy of God, and I'm at peace. Brenda.
Seemed to me like the last couple of years I really felt that, you know, I take a lot of time with my devotions, partly because the work I do is just at home, you know. I can set my own schedule. And it was like that. Like you said, you know, you spend this time and it's really great. I mean, feeling the presence of God and just, yeah, just like, God, I want what you want, you know. But I guess in the last few months, I felt like no matter how long I do this, it's gotten kind of just blah. You know, I don't feel that anymore, or, you know, the way I did. And I guess I just, it's kind of disappointing, but I still do it. And I guess I just, what I try to do is just sort of take in faith that it, you know, God is there anyway. But it doesn't seem like that sense of rest necessarily always comes, even when you give it, you know, a lot of time. Does that make any sense?
Yes, and that's true. Because what happens is this. When God takes us from strength to strength, we go through periods where we break through to one place or space in which you just feel, wow, there's a freedom, and God is accessible. And then God is going to take us deeper. And when He takes us deeper, we come up against demonic activity, we come up against the kind of demonic powers that we have to enter and to break into in order for us to be brought to another deeper level of effectiveness in God. So there's a way in which you and I are being raised from glory to glory, right? We go from strength to strength. And at each level, there is a period where you come to the end of that period of peace or accessing God. And you come to this place where actually you experience the peace of God, because in your understanding and your own frame of mind and all that, God is just as he says he is, right? Just as your mind expects him to be. Just as expected. It comes in that same way. But you know God is God, you see. And God is much more than that. And so what God does, and sometimes he takes us to another level of intimacy with him, in which we find that he's all that we thought he was, but he's much more than that. And so we come up against certain doubts we have about God, certain ways in which God is that isn't as we expected, doesn't feel like he was that. Or we come up, and during this process, we come up against things that are inside us that just are just blockages, or just darker places we never knew about, or places of doubt and all that. So we just have to stay there until the Lord just brings us to the next level. The assurance is that you will end up there as long as you don't give up. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times at the wall, you have to keep repeating, and something will happen. It's like any relationship. I mean, you're with this great friend, you know. You come to a place where you feel, this person is the best person in the world. You know, there's nobody like this person. I feel so comfortable with this person. It's like, that person really understands me. I really understand them. It's just like, it's partly because it's predictable, right?
Right.
My spouse is predictable. Then I suddenly realize that, oh, that person acted in a way that's not what I expected. In fact, I don't like the way they expected, and it makes me feel that this person feels this about me. Does that make sense? But it's not necessarily true. And so I have to be able to enter into a new depth of relationship, but I hit the reality of that person. Now, before I hit that, I thought this person was really great. But it's not a fully true picture of that person, right? And my capacity to be able to understand that person was limited. That's why I felt comfortable, and that's because that person revealed herself to me in this much. Right? And suddenly we just hit this other part. Huh? What's that? You are not who I thought you were! Or you've changed! You see, many times we think, oh, God doesn't love me anymore. Oh, I did something wrong, so in our journey we were walking together, then God refused to hold my hand anymore. You know, it's like when you're holding hands, and then the spouse says, I'm not going to hold your hand anymore. What did I do wrong? Has our relationship changed? Have you felt you feel differently about me now? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So we get all these signals, right? Mm-hmm. And it feels like, I did something to change the way God feels about me. No, actually God felt the same way all the time. It's just that we are coming to another level. Now I have to maintain faith and hope to stay in there and not run away. Because if I run away, I will lose out on going to the next stage. Does that make sense?
I just have a question. Actually, I've been thinking how you say now God takes us through different phases, through different depth of relationship with Him.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, does it mean that we probably we can present ourselves to God in different ways? At different phases.
Say a bit more.
Okay, so for example, if person present to God in a quiet time and prayer, and if it doesn't happen within the amount of time you anticipated.
Yes.
And that's maybe because now you're in a different phase.
Right.
In the walk of God.
Yes.
With God, then. Maybe there is another way to present yourself to God.
Yes.
That you can actually experience this different depth of intimacy with God.
Right. So, for example, you're still presenting, mm-hmm. but you are, in that presenting, open to other things that could be happening. Okay, so for example, when I first came into a relationship with my wife, I was in Malaysia, she was here, and we were talking on the phone every day. That was before all the internet was there. And it was great. I just really loved to hear her voice and everything, and it was just wonderful. And we all, first time in my life, someone called me sweetie. Oh, wow. And then we started talking about our plans, right? And we started talking. And she would say something, and I would really wonder about that. That's right. And then we would get into it, and we would talk for half an hour, and we can't settle. Then it goes for 45 minutes, and we still can't settle. And then 1 hour, and after 1 hour, we feel worse. Now you're bringing up other things. I thought this is bad. This is worse. And then you're like, 1 hour, 15 minutes, and cannot settle. And I don't know whether what you are like, but I'm the kind of person, if it's not settled, I just can't go to sleep. My wife can, but I can't. So I have to get at it. 2 hours. This is getting worse. What do I mean? Intimacy. We're getting less intimate. And then you're manifesting all the things to block that person from intimacy. It's like, shut down, whatever, get cold. Or 2.5 hours. And seconds are ticking away, and money is going. It was very expensive for us. It was really expensive for us. I don't even want to tell you how much we spent on phone bills. But
all worth it.
All worth it, yes, all worth it. But we have to work through it now. But after a conflict, we come to another understanding for one another. And we know it better than before, see. But sometimes when you're going through it, you don't know whether you can make it or not. And you don't know whether you can make it or not. And so at the time you think you're going backwards, actually you're moving forward. Because that person was always like that. When I thought this person was marvelous, and calling me sweetie and all that, I thought she was great. I didn't know that this part was still there. And I had to get into it to know that this part was there. And actually this part was, it's good for me. It was good for me to experience, because there was something good about that. But at that time when I was going through, I thought it was terrible. So sometimes with God it's like that. You know, we feel like God's like, he doesn't care about me, that I'm waiting for him all this while. I feel hung out to dry and all that. So, but there's a way in which God cannot help being God. And just as my wife Cindy couldn't help being Cindy, and she had to not pretend to be something else just to accommodate my feelings, I had to deal with it. Does that make sense? And what it did is it brings us closer. So that is how God brings us from one degree of glory to another in terms of relationship. Who changes? I change, not God. Does that make sense? And that's the hard thing, you see, because I want God to change. I wish I can bring pressure to bear upon him to make him change his mind. But actually, he's not going to change. I'm the one who's going to change. And so that's the only way in which I can know him more. Yeah? Okay. And with that, I'm going to just leave this with you. Do not be conformers to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So in all this, the mind is being renewed. See, the mind is being renewed, being changed. It's being changed not because we face reality only, it's that because of that as well. But constantly in all this, we are asking God to come and fill my mind, and give me understanding. And so we're constantly depending upon the Lord. We are not trying to figure it out ourselves. We are asking God to come and give us revelation, give us understanding of this whole thing. And that is what gives us the grace to be able to go through it. Okay? Let's pray, and then I'm going to ask us to divide us up into the groups that we usually in. Just pray for one another for about 15 minutes. Is that okay? Lord, we welcome you to come into our times together as a small group. And we pray that you would just lead us to pray for each other in a way that speaks your word. We believe that as we pray for one another, as we listen to you, you will give us things to pray for. We just pray that you would just give us your mercy as we present ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay.
Is there an assigned kind of question or?
No, I just want to invite you to just pray for one another. Okay. Just for 15 minutes, and then after that, we'll see. Okay? Then come back after 15 minutes. Yeah. Okay.